course, is might be titled The Rebellion of Korah, who was a family member to Moses and Aaron. We're going to learn a lesson here of being presumptuous in the priesthood of God. And it is akin to that which happened to Nadab and Abihu, wherein that they offered strange fire before the Lord, which He commanded them not, and they were destroyed because of that. Well, here are some men involved here who are Levites, but they have no right to the priesthood. And so they will be condemned for that, and many will lose their lives because of this. I want to read down through verse 11 here and notice some things with you and make application today. And begin reading so we get the scenario of what's happening here. Beginning in verse 1, number 16, verse 1. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan of Biram, and the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Pelath, sons of Reuben, took men, and they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, You take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them. And the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. And he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, Even tomorrow the Lord will show who are His, and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom He hath chosen will He cause to come near unto him. This do, take you censers, Korah, and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow, and it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. You take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. And Moses said unto Korah, Hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi, seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel hath separated you from the congregation of Israel, to bring you near to Himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them. And He hath brought thee near to Him, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and ye seek the priesthood also? For which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord, and what is Aaron, and ye murmur against him. Now what's happening here? Well, first of all, Moses realizes here, and makes mention him writing, of course, and he's involved in this situation. He says, Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi. Korah and his sons and those of his family were Levites. The same family as Aaron. Aaron is high priest and his sons are priests of the children of Israel here. God's chosen people. So, he sets the stage here. They were talking about Levites, those of the tribe of Levi, the priestly tribe of the children of Israel. It says that they rose up before Moses. What did they do? What did they say? Well, they said to Moses, You take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation, that is the whole house of Israel, are holy, every one of them. And the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye yourselves up above the congregation of the Lord. Well, what does he mean? Well, Moses' reaction to this teaches us and shows us what happened. Well, what is he talking about? What did Moses do immediately? He fell on his face because of this great reproach that Korah and those who were with him were bringing against God. Well, what does he say that Korah is doing? Now, if you notice here, then verse 9, he says specifically, what are they doing? Why did they come before Moses? Why did they come against Moses and set themselves up as some type of authority? Why did they say that you've taken too much upon yourself, Moses, Aaron? Why did he say that all the congregation of Israel are holy? Well, what is he doing? He's setting himself up to be part of the priesthood also. Notice verse 9. Seemeth it, now of course Moses is speaking to Korah, Seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel hath separated you from the congregation of Israel? How did he do that? By setting apart the tribe of Levi. And in particular, the family of Korah within the tribe of Levi had the greatest honor among all the families of the Levites because they were the ones that were to bear the ark and the other holy things that were within the tabernacle. No other people could do that. The priests would cover them, prepare them, and the Korahites would be the ones that would carry them. They had this great honor of carrying these most holy things of God. And so they had a great honor. That's part of what Moses is saying here. God has separated them from the congregation of Israel as Levites, and then Korah himself had this great honor to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them. You are the priests of, you're functioning in these priestly functions. The Levites were helpers, as it were, to the priests. They were the ones who were serving the priesthood and doing that priestly work, carrying the Ark of the Covenant, no less. Now, he says in verse 10, "And he hath brought thee near to him, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee." Now notice what happens next. "And seek ye the priesthood also." They didn't think that carrying the Ark and the other holy items within the tabernacle was enough. We want it all. We want it all. We want to do what God has set in for Aaron and his sons to do, to be the priests. Wasn't enough to be a servant to the priests. I want to be priests also. And he's complaining to Moses in the beginning, "You're taking too much upon yourself." What did Moses remind them? Who set you in as servants to the priesthood? Who set you in as a tribe separated from the rest of God's people? Who did that? Did Moses do it? No. He said, "God has separated you from your brethren." God's the one that set you there. God put you where He wanted you. And He's given you this great prestige, this great honor that can be yours, even above your other fellow Levites. But no, that's not good enough. Well, as we travel on through this chapter, of course, there are various tests that happen. In all of this, God's going to choose Aaron, and of course, the 250 will be destroyed. Those men who rebelled against God will be destroyed by God. In verse 30, Moses speaking here, "But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth, and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then shall ye understand that these men have provoked the Lord." Now that's what's going to happen to these men. The Lord's going to open up the earth unto them and unto their families and destroy them. They'll be fall down in the earth, and the earth will close back over them, and they'll be destroyed. Similar to what God did to Nadab and Abihu in destroying them by fire. They were presumptuous. They presumed to take that which God had not given them. They had no right to the priesthood. They had no right to that. Now I want us to notice something in particular here in relation to us. If we turn over to 1 Peter, please. Now I want us to notice something in application for today. We have this example with Korah and those who were following him and their rebellion in presuming to take a priesthood which was not their own, to do that service which God had forbidden them to do. You see, it had to be Aaron and his own personal lineage that would be the priest. Well, now notice 1 Peter chapter 2, and 5, verse 5, "But ye also," Peter of course is speaking to Christians, "ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house," that's the church, "and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." So who is accepted of God to offer these sacrifices? It is His priesthood. Now in the days of Moses and the Aaronic priesthood, that is those who were of the family of Aaron, who would God accept to offer the sacrifices? Who were His priests? Those of Aaron. If any other would be so presumptuous as to take that office when it did not belong to them, what would happen? What happened to Korah and his followers? They were destroyed by God. Now, today within the church, as Christians, we are the holy priesthood of God. And if any other beside those who are members of the church presume to take the office of priesthood, what shall happen to them? No, the earth's not going to open up and suck you down into it and be destroyed, but you'll be destroyed eternally if you repent not of such sin. What we're saying here is that those who are not members of the church cannot offer the sacrifices of God. God will not accept it. Notice verse 9 as well, that same opening. in chapter 2. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We see within the children of Israel under the law of Moses, we see in the case of the priesthood and the other tribes, the other people, within the people or the holy people of God, the Israelites of God, that we see the contrast between those who are members of the church and those who are not members of the church. Well, we also see in Israel also a type of the church as well. There's the dual type and antitype type situation there. But in this case, we're talking about the difference between those who are priests and those who are not. Well, what happens today? Now, if you turn over to Romans chapter 12, you'll see those things which we're commanded to do. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies, watch it now, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, who did we already establish as being those who would offer sacrifices today to God? Not under the law of Moses, because we're no longer bound by that law, but under the law of Christ. Who would so do? Well, we noticed that already from the example in Numbers chapter 16, and of course other places within the Old Testament, and then its application today concerning 1 Peter 2, 5, and 9, as priests of God, we are, members of the church, are to offer those sacrifices. And if you present your body a living sacrifice, as you should, it's holy and acceptable unto God. But notice also it says, which is your reasonable service. Why does it say that? And I've mentioned this before. Reasonable comes from the word logikos, from which we get the word logical. In other words, it's a regular set out plan in order for one to do these things. That plan is found within the Scriptures, that God requires certain things of certain people, that is, every accountable person on the face of the earth, is to obey the gospel that he might become a priest of God. It is logical, according to the Scriptures, that you should become a priest. Now, you can only become a priest of God if you follow certain steps, and that is the plan of salvation. You have to become a child of God. You have to be a member of the Lord's church. Now, what about someone who doesn't follow that plan? Who doesn't become a child of God, but he is a self-proclaimed priest? Well, he can go to these Scriptures and say, well, I'm a child of God, according to my own rules. Now, we must add there, parenthetically. And so, I'm a priest. Well, if you are truly a child of God, then yes, you are a priest. But is he truly a child of God if he's never obeyed the gospel? How do you become a child of God? By hearing the gospel, believing that gospel, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Christ, and being baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, that you might be added unto the one church. If you have not done that, you have no right to the title of priest. And so, what does that make the one today who proclaims to be a child of God and presumes to offer sacrifice unto God, that is, spiritual sacrifice, living your life, prayers unto God, partaking of the Lord's Supper, preaching, teaching the gospel as though you were a child of God, but you're not? It makes you presumptuous. It makes you a self-proclaimed priest. What did God do to those of Korah? Korah and those who were following him, they were all destroyed. The ground opened up and swallowed them. What happened to Nadab and Abihu? They were all destroyed. What will happen to those today? They will be destroyed. It's presumptuous to so do. We realize that there are many people who do that. What about the denominational bodies that partake the Lord's Supper, even every Sunday? They're doing it presumptuously because they're not faithful members of the Lord's church. They're not even members of the Lord's church at all. What about those who, well, even within Catholicism, who say that we are priests? I mean, they take the title of priests, but they're not members of the church. It's presumptuous to so do and sinful to do that. You can't do that. God will not accept it. You cannot set up your own righteousness. And we talked about that even in Bible class this morning, about those of Paul mentioned in Romans 10, verses 1 through 4. Those who set up their own righteousness. Well, we have men doing that today, men and women, who are self-proclaimed priests, self-proclaimed holy people, because they have obeyed the doctrine which they believe. Now, is that acceptable? Turn over to Romans chapter 6. Now, if you notice here, in verse 16, Romans 6 and verse 16, notice what Paul writes. He says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." Now notice what he says in the next verse. "But God be thanked that you were servants, but ye were the servants of sin, but ye have," notice now, "obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." How do you become a child of God? By obeying the doctrine which was delivered unto you. You cannot establish your own doctrine. You cannot establish your own righteousness, which Paul will talk about a little bit further along in the book of Romans. But that's what they're doing. When you set yourself up as something you're not. Now turn back now, keeping that in mind, turn back to Numbers chapter 16. And notice again what Korah said. And you'll see the very same thing with him. They'd gathered themselves, verse 3, they had gathered themselves against Moses and Aaron. Have they proclaimed themselves to be worthy of this honor? Yes, they have. Notice. You take too much upon you. See here Moses, see here Aaron. Here's a fact. Seeing all the congregation are holy, all of us are sanctified. Well, in a general sense, yes. Was the children of Israel set apart from all the rest of the people on the earth? Yes. But were all of them set apart to be Levites? No, only the tribe of Levi. Were all the tribe of Levi set apart to be priests? No, only those of the seed line of Aaron. But he says everybody's holy. Everybody's equal in that same sense. Everybody has a right to the priesthood. He is self-proclaiming himself, self-proclamation of his ability and his right to be a priest. All the congregation are holy. Every one of them, that includes me, Korah is saying, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye yourselves up above the congregation of the Lord. You realize that in that verse we have the attitude that the denominations have against the church. They say you've taken too much upon yourselves, churches of Christ, by saying that you have to obey the gospel. We're all holy. We all serve God. We all believe in Christ. And so we're all sanctified. We're all set apart. And they say, well, you've lifted yourselves up above the congregation of the Lord. If we say those who are now living, that only those who will be saved today are those who obey the gospel, the denominational body say you've taken too much upon yourself. You've set yourself up above every other religious group. But are we saying that because it's our doctrine? No, we're saying it because that's what the book says. You have to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized for the remission of sins. It's what the book says over and over again in the New Testament. That's why we say it. That's why we preach that. Not because it's of ourselves. Just as Moses and Aaron took nothing on themselves, Aaron did not proclaim himself to be priest of God. God set him in. Look back at the book of Exodus. Who was proclaimed by God to be the first high priest and to set his sons in as priests? It was God who set Aaron in. Moses didn't come up with that. God told Moses, and Moses fulfilled that within the people, and he spoke also to Aaron, who instructed them to build a tabernacle, and the Ark of the Covenant, and the table of showbread, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offerings, the laver, and the golden candlestick. Who gave the pattern for that? See that thou makest according to the pattern which thou sawest in the mount? Who said that? God. God gave that to Moses. No, we haven't set up our own priesthood on this earth. We're doing what the Bible teaches us. Peter teaches very plainly that those who are members of the Lord's church are the priests. And he's already taught us how to get into the church, how to become that priest. And we're the ones who can offer acceptable and holy sacrifice, not someone else. There's a lot in this passage of Scriptures that relates to us today. The world says that we've presumed to be the priests of God. But God says we are. Who are you going to believe? God or the world? I'm going to believe God. I hope you do too. That's what the book says. That's what we're going to believe. That's what you must believe in order to be saved. So sometimes we get persecuted because of that, and well, what do? We keep teaching and preaching the gospel. We don't get upset over all of that. We don't let it discourage us. We keep going. We pray for them. We teach them in every opportunity. We defend the faith. We pray for them before God. Hopefully they'll be converted by our teaching and our good life. We hope and pray for that. Remember that you're rightfully, if you're a member of the Lord's church, you are rightfully the priests of God. Be faithful, serve God, offer up sacrifices that are holy and acceptable unto God by giving your lives unto God and to be faithful. Are you here this morning and you're not a member of the Lord's church? You have good reason to be. It's the difference between heaven and hell, whether you are obedient to God or not. If you're here this morning and you don't know what you need to do in order to be saved, we can study with you, help you in that. It may be that you already know what you need to do, but you haven't done it. And so we stand ready to help you. It could be that this morning you're here as a child of God, but you have sins that you haven't taken care of. You realize and know that even one sin unrepented of will keep you out of heaven. God demands that we repent and confess all of our sins unto Him. Confess our sins as widely as they're known. And pray unto God for forgiveness of sins. That's what 1 John 1 tells us, chapter 1. Have you done those things? Are you a faithful child of God? If not, we stand ready to assist you. If you have a need and to come before the Lord this morning to put on Christ in baptism or to pray for forgiveness of sin, whatever your case may be, we encourage you to come now as we stand and as we sing.